won't read the whole thing, but I just want you to read Matthew 24 and 11. When you there, say I'm there. Amen. Go ahead. Ready? Read. Amen. Keep reading the next verse. Father, we thank you for, remember that phrase, because iniquity shall abound. And that's what we're going to be talking about, overcoming the spirit behind iniquity. You know, it's a spirit behind iniquity. I'll explain iniquity the best way I can. I use a lot of scriptures, so you shouldn't leave confused. All right? Father, we thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your presence. Think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified. After hearing the word of truth, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And Father God, I decrease that you may increase. Have your perfect way in this place on tonight. Today, speak like never before, God. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that our spirits be open and attentive, that we may hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church today. And Father God, I give you all the praise, glory, and honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands and you can have your seat. We've had some good encouragement over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Tell your neighbor, say, put the sugar up. Say, put the sugar up. All right. It's going to be just for grown folks. Spiritual people for grown folk. Are you spiritually growing? Jesus says in verse 24:1, he says, and Jesus went out, he departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple, buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another till that shall not be thrown down. That is going to happen again, but this earth will eventually go through a period of destruction, and it ain't nothing a whole bunch of people can do about it. It's just the way it is. We live in those days, or these days, where things are going to happen, and like I was talking to my sister yesterday, intercessory prayer don't change prophetic word to change you. It gives us the ability to get prepared for things. It helps us to understand things. It helps to put us in a place where we don't blame God, but that's just where it is. And anybody who tell you otherwise, they're not speaking for God. All right. My sister yesterday said something that I thought was really interesting when she was talking, gave her her prophetic word about things that would come to this nation. And it was so interesting, because I wasn't going to say anything. I just going to see who pay attention in church, because a lot of the things that God gave her, she done wrote books about them. I don't even know them. We just met over Zoom yesterday. Have been almost identical to the things that God has been speaking to me over the last couple of years, to reiterate to the body things that are actually going to come, all the way down to people being displaced and coming to this city. And why I'm here, I didn't want to be here. I want to be in Texas, so I don't want to be in California, but I took Florida if they didn't have all them domestic snakes they didn't let out down there. I could see myself coming out of the yard and some big python laying across my yard, but they ain't gonna work for me. But I couldn't figure out why God had me here. I never would have chose Colorado Springs. I'm glad I'm here now, but I wouldn't have chosen it for myself. Say, God know what he doing. When you really seeking God, God orders your steps. He's in command. He don't ask for you to pray for no direction. I didn't ask to come here. He'll just do things, and you're obedient, you'll comply, or he'll put you in a situation where it don't really require you to say nothing because it ain't nothing you can do about it. And here you are. And Jesus said this. He says that he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, when you coming back, or the end of the world? And it's interesting, you know, my grandsugar was, things was happening. And it's funny that kids can remember stuff when they sit in church. Y'all think they can't. They can. And we were watching things on TV that was happening. And it disturbed her spirit to the point to where you're thinking the world is going to end like tomorrow. And it ain't, but it is going to come to an end. But the good news is, if you're born again, we go to be with Jesus. Amen. And so we just passing through this place. And that's got to be your mindset, because if you don't, you're going to have other priorities. You're going to have other priorities that may put you in a position where you could miss things or miss God. You see what I'm saying? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. That's the first thing Jesus pointed out when they started asking him. He said, don't let nobody deceive you. And he says, for many people come in my name saying I am Christ. This is verse number 5. Or they'll say I'm Christian. Because Jesus, in this tone, when you read this, he's talking to his believers. He's talking to believers. He said that many people gonna come in my name saying I'm Christ, and I don't believe people are stupid enough to come around here talking about their Christ to people who don't read the Bible. So it's gotta be something else. There will be people who will say that they are Christian, but they are not. There'll be people who say, just because you believe in God don't make you Christian. The devil believe in God. He ain't never going to get saved. And one of the things that God had been placed on my heart, and I shared it with them yesterday, probably been a long time since I even brought it up, but I only brought it up because I thought it was fitting in what she was talking about, is that I thought we really connected prior to them coming. But one of the things that she was pointing out about herself is that sometimes, like, people don't really... You got to acquire a taste for me and the message that God gave to me. Now, yeah, caviar is expensive, but it ain't good. You got to know I'm eating this because I'm rich. And not good. It's not good. Fish egg, it ain't good. But you can convince yourself of anything if it costs enough. But I was sharing with her, people will try to control your speech. You know, and they'll try to control your speech through protocol, because they don't want you to really convey to them what God is really saying to them. So they'll try to control your speech through time or through all this other stuff, or they'll put you on a program. You know, they done sung for 3 hours and then they want you to preach after that.
Right.
And I'll sit there. I don't get twisted all up and scream and praise and shout when I got to preach like that. I'll just sit there and just cross my legs and I'll just wait, because I'm going to be ready when my time comes. And just like I waited for them and everybody else, you're going to wait for me. You're going to wait for the Holy Ghost to show up, and I'm going to deliver exactly what he gave me. But they say, I'm Christ. I'm anointed. I've never seen in my lifetime, co-pastor, as many people self-proclaiming themselves to be God's anointed. See, Christ Christos is anointed, or anointing. If I got to tell you I'm anointed, why I got to tell you I'm anointed if I'm anointed? That's my selling point. I'm trying to sell you. If I got to proclaim it and tell you, I probably got snake oil. But if I got it, I don't have to tell you that. You should experience that.
Yes.
At some point, captives should be set free. At some point, you should see God building people up to some capacity, people's lives changing to some. And it ain't always what people think. You got to really know where people come from to appreciate where they even stand in that. You have to appreciate the fact that sometimes people, they just showed up and say, God is doing something. Say, God is doing something. Oh, they'll say, I'm this, I'm that. He said, and he said, they're going to deceive many people like that. So I was sharing with them Friday night. I'm not going to get very far today. I got too much, man. I really just had to stop this morning because I got up and I just, my spirit was just going off. But God actually told me to come to this place last Sunday right after church. Last Sunday after church. And he said that many people are going to be deceived because, you know, I don't take people's word when they say they this and that just because they say they this and that. They say, well, if somebody say God called them, you got to accept it. I will not. I will most certainly not accept it. When I see, I'm going to look at the fruit. I'm going to see how things are done, what type of spirit stuff has been done in. Because, again, sometimes people can do the right thing, but they're doing it in the wrong spirit. And that let me know that maybe I haven't discerned well enough. They're trying to bamboozle somebody, but I can tell that it's in the wrong spirit. And I said, I will not do that. He says, watch this. He says, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Every time I get so sick of them talking about China and Russia and America and just a bunch of who cares? I mean, it's going to happen anyway. He says, see that you be not troubled. That's my point. That's why I say who cared. I ain't troubled by it. He says, for all these things must come to pass. But he said that the end is not yet. That is not yet. He says, for nations going to rise up against nations. Kingdoms going to rise up against kingdoms. Is this going to happen?
Yes, sir.
A nation deal like singular. So when you're talking about kingdoms, you know, you got the United Kingdom. You got other places that established. But then he's really talking about groups of people, groups of nations that's banded fighting other groups of nations that's banded together. That's going to happen. And we shouldn't be tripping about it. That's just where we at. He said there are going to be famines. Famine deal with not having enough. Pestilence. Earthquakes. A matter of fact, that Wednesday, Monday when I talked to them, I knew it caught their attention because I shared some things. Some things I just don't share with God people because they spook people. I just figured to read the Bible. But I remember telling somebody something about the area that I grew up in and things that God had showed me how things were going to go down there. And I could tell it was spook. It was bothering them. I won't say spook them, but I could tell it was bothering their spirit. And so I just stopped. And then they said, Reverend Jones said that in the 70s, Reverend Jones was the pastor of the church that my family went to when I was like 5 or 4. He died when I was like a small kid. I can't even hardly remember him at all. But he said the same stuff, some of the same stuff that I told him that was coming to the area. And she said, he said that 40 years ago. Yeah. And so we got to pay attention to what the Bible says and what God is showing us. He says, in diverse places, he said, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. This is not to bog people, your spirit down. The good news is that Jesus made a way of escape for his people. And one of the things that was brought out is that, you know, even though things happen in the world, it don't mean that God still won't be in operation in his people's lives. And that's why when you have an opportunity to give your heart to God or to say wholly committed or be wholly committed to God, you want to maximize that and you don't want to pull I grew up in church card. Because what I was sharing with them on yesterday is the reality of it is that most churches need to be evangelized. What I mean by that is that there are many people, I've said this so many times, I just stopped saying it because people get it, can convicted, they think they're being condemned. You're trying to condemn them or talk about their salvation. But the reality of it, as I've learned, Mother, is that if I can talk a person out their salvation, they not saved. They should get saved. They should really consider, because your experience with Jesus is the only real and relevant experience that is eternal when it happens. Means you can experience things in your life, but everything that you experience today could be totally changed tomorrow. You can be totally healed today, and you can get up tomorrow and find a pain that you ain't never had in your body, and it's just as real as the one you experienced on yesterday. But when you experience Christ, nothing can change that, because it's an eternal experience. To yesterday, today, and forever, he remains the same. And so, can't nobody talk you out of it. So I was telling them that God had laid on my heart. This has been for a few years, that churches are flooded with people that have not given their heart to God. And many people come for various reasons. You know, Jesus will meet natural needs sometimes. He'll meet people's needs sometimes. He'll take care of people naturally. But that can't be people's sole reason for coming to church. My sole reason can't be because my marriage is on the rocks. You know, can God help your marriage? Yeah, he can help your marriage. But that ain't the ultimate reason why he died. The ultimate reason was to save humanity from sin. All this other stuff is a byproduct of us giving our heart to God and yielding to him and submitting unto God. But I'm trying to get to this, and I can't move forward. I'm trying to get to verse 11 and 12, because that's where my meat is at. I'm trying to get to my meat. But he says, they shall be delivered up for their afflictions. Christians going to be persecuted. Christians are already being persecuted. They're making people make cakes for people that they don't want to make cakes for. And then giving them the opportunity to sue you. On top of them running you through some system that's really being controlled by people that are perverted at the top. And they tie you up in legal systems because really they be trying to bankrupt your efforts. So you get persecuted sometimes, but say, Jesus still got me. Say, Jesus got me, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then many shall be offended. Watch this. So he was given a depiction of the end times and of things that you're going to experience in this day and age. And then he says, because people don't process it right, they're going to get offended. I've never seen in my lifetime people get offended at the drop of a dime. And watch this, and stay mad forever. It ain't like they get offended, brother, and tomorrow they okay. Oh, no, I take it to my grave. Go for it. Let's see how that work out for you. Because every day you get up, you're dying. And you don't know if today is your day. Every day you get up. Every trip to the mirror should let you know you're dying every day you get up. That's what the process is all about. To get us out of this place at some point in time and let us be conscious that when I leave this place, I get my glorified body. And my glorified body ain't got no holes and no patches and no aches and no pains. Say, I'm trying to get out of here too. If you can't say that, then your heart is still gripped with fear. And you got to figure out where that stuff is coming from. Then he said, many false prophets going to rise. Underline that in your Bible. They shall deceive many. I wanted to go to Ezekiel. I don't have time, man. Because, hey, put one scripture up there. I'll just do one. Ezekiel 14 and 10. I want to show this. Because you better know when you call yourself speaking for God. Hello, somebody. You better know when you call yourself speaking for God. And they shall, because he's in this scripture in Ezekiel 14, he's talking to prophets or prophetic people, and mainly people who are false prophets, but they say they're prophets. You know, I thank God I do got people who are prophetic in my life. We got a prophet back there, Pastor Jay, Prophetess Jay, Apostle Clemens. His gifting is prophetic. But he said this. He says, When you out there running your mouth talking about all the stuff God said, he says, and they shall bear the punishment of their iniquities. The punishments of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. As people seek people who are gifted, or even like me or prophetic teachings or whatever, you better be careful what you're saying, because if you're telling people wrong, he said you're going to bear the punishment just like them, because they were seeking you. They came to you. You should have had an answer. You didn't have an answer, or you made up an answer, or you gave them the wrong answer. And so, is this stuff serious? So we paying attention to this. Many shall come, they shall deceive many. And this is what I was going to. And because iniquity shall abound. Y'all made me work hard, man. I was supposed to have been way past that. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. People are offended. He said they're going to betray one another. They're going to even hate one another. And this ain't out there in the streets. He talking about in his people. People going to get offended with people. I mean, many people, even people that I pastor, I mean, have sat right here and in other locations. And the whole reason why their spirit was tied in knots, Deaconess Avery, they was offended with me. they was offended with me about something that maybe I said that they didn't like. Listen, there ain't no perfect person. But if a person is speaking with God, even if you offended, if they talking for God and you know it, you better eat it. You better eat it all. Because, you know, when he's talking right here about people saying things and deceiving people, that many people already don't know who to trust. Then you decide you're going to trust somebody, and then the person that you trust in proved that you couldn't trust them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so we got to know that, like, hypocrites are going to be discovered like never been seen before in this time. People who are double lifestyles, and yet they say they're working for God. All that's going to... There's nothing on this earth that's not going to be shaken. Yeah. Nothing. If it stands, it was God. Even if you're standing for God, you're going to be shaken, because God needs to know you're still standing for him. Yeah. If you are, because this iniquity abounding and the love of people waxing cold, do you know, watch this, if you really got a love for God, there's no way you can get caught up in this. If people really have a love for God, there's no way they can get caught up in that, because they always seeking after God. And so the whole point of it is this abounding iniquity. Watch this. Listen to this. Is to weaken the confidence of the believer in the believer. So people don't trust each other. People won't be unified with the church. You know, the dumbest thing you can do is try to start a church in a church. That's the dumbest thing ever. All they're going to do is get hurt. But it's trying to weaken the confidence of believers in believers. So all the devil will let you see is a person's problem. He won't let you see none of the good in their life, which that they're doing or God is working on them. He'll only amplify the thing that they struggling with, that God only lets you see in it, because he wants you to intercede for them. He wasn't showing you because, you know, he didn't even show it to you because he wanted you to fix it. But you know what God had told me, mother? I shared it with my wife just the other day. I said that because when I got into this thing, I'm going to save the world. I'm going to fix everybody. And you know what God pointed out to me, mother? He said, that's pride and arrogance in you, that you think you have the ability to change anybody. I don't have no ability to change anybody. And here's the danger. The danger in a person trying to change somebody is that, watch this. Jesus gave a parable, and he said this. He said, let the wheat and the tare grow together. In the beginning, wheat and tare look exactly alike. It looks exactly alike. You can't even tell it apart. And he said, let it grow together. Lest you wind up doing destruction and pulling up wheat when you thought it was a tear. And the danger in trying to fix somebody in the body is you are pulling up the tear, but they connected to somebody else. And now you done uprooted two or three people because you thought you can fix somebody. You can't fix nobody. If God is allowing us, y'all following me at all? God is allowing us to see something or know something. It's really because he's trusting you to do something in the realm of the spirit, in the spirit, that would help them, that would better enhance their life or their walk somehow. But the enemy will point out nothing but the issues. And that's why he'll attack churches. He will attack churches because he'll start pointing out the thing. Never point out the good in a person or what's happening in a body. They'll only amplify the negative. How many know God wants us to do something about this? It's to make godly people or godly Christians make them suspicious of each other. There's just something about them. Well, did God show you something? Did you have a dream or you had a vision? You saw something naturally? No, I just feel funny. You feel funny? Go to the bathroom. You feel funny? Did God say that? I mean, you don't say you don't get to do that. Watch this. When people don't even try or dare not, they don't even want to trust each other. You know what's happening to that person? Their heart is growing cold. Their love is growing cold for one another. And you know the next thing that they're going to start seeing? Iniquity is going to start abounding. No, not in other people, in them. It's going to start increasing. And God wants us to do something because iniquity is this. Let me give you the definition real quick, because the ability to define is the ability to understand. You got to know what you're talking about when I say iniquity, because most people don't know what I'm even talking about when I say iniquity. Iniquity is sin. Watch this. But it's active internal sin. So like, let's just say this, a person that, I'll just use this, I'm going to use a couple of things, but let's just say a person who deal have a spirit of lust, a man or woman that has a spirit of lust, well, they're sleeping with people already in their soul. No physical act, but they intimate with people. Some of these people are already married, so they double dipping. And that's why Jesus said, if you do it in your heart, you've already done it. So iniquity is sin, but it's active internal sin. Or like a person who they racism would fall into this. Just hate people just because you're black. Hate a person because they're white, Hispanic, or whatever the case may be. Or it could be just somebody who's offended you, and now it develops into a hatred. People just don't start hating people. They was offended with that person somehow first. You can look at people who get married. Well, why are they getting married? I mean, just a month ago, they were baby, 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 love you, love you, love you. And now this week, they talking about, I hate them. I just can't take it no more. I want a divorce. Because there was a thought that crept in that they didn't deal with. they got offended somehow with that person, with their husband, with their wife, with their child. They didn't do nothing with the thought, because most of the time it's coming from the enemy. And even if it was a legitimate offense, they didn't even try to get no closure or understand how the devil was using that person to offend them. They didn't want no closure, and it turns into hatred. Now you find yourself right here. Say it's sin. It's active sin. It's internal active sin, right? That is contrary to the will of God. It's our transgressions. It's our wrongdoings. Don't live your life. You can't live your life. None of us can or should live our life. Let me say it that way. As a Christian, saying everybody make mistakes. Yeah, but God ain't talking to everybody today. He talking to you. It's so common. Everybody doing this day and age. I said to my wife, don't let your kids, as they age, get you into sin. And you can get in sin by enabling them, and they sin because they've convinced you that you an old timer. That's old fashioned. You need to come up to the modern age. When you're 45, I'm still your daddy.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
When you're 50, I'm still your daddy. And they're trying to communicate to you what they have learned and through their personal spiritual experiences, because there's nothing new under the sun, and the times may have changed, but you can recognize spirits in places, and you can recognize them on people, and you can tell them, I can tell you exactly how this is going to play out. Because they've seen it before. And so you can get in trouble by enabling them, helping them in their sin. I'm not going to help you in your sin. I will help you out of it. But I'm not going to help you in it at all. Because we hopping on the devil's side, and we don't even know we on his side, because that's my child. I'm going to show you. I'm not going to even get to it today. I ain't got enough time, man. But our transgressions, it's our wrongdoings. Watch this. Pay attention to this. It's the burdens or weights carried by people who are offenders. Burdens or weights. Because oftentimes, guilt and punishment is the result of iniquity. Mm-hmm. It's something that we practice. We wouldn't stop. And so, you can find people irritated or confused with life. Why? Because in some cases, they are entangled in or they practice in some type of iniquity. Let me say it again. Irritated. Huh, you done opened up a breeding ground around you. Yeah. Practicing iniquity, you go to James, you'll find it in there. But you done opened this up and you won't deal with it. And now I'm all confused because I don't know what to do, because God told us what to do in the beginning. We didn't want to do that. We want to do this. And now we're confused about life. God is trying to solve confusion in us today. That you can know the distance, you can know the direction, you can know, but we can't be practicing stuff, because watch this, iniquity will bring serious detrimental individual, and it can even bring community problems. Man, I don't pick on my people, I don't pick on nobody's people, but I do talk authoritative about black people because I'm black. At least every place I can see. But there are things that's in our communities that are the results of iniquities being practiced.
Sure. Amen.
And people come to church. Some of them, many of them, give their heart to God. But yet, things can be so common in a community that they say everybody doing. They're exposed to it so much that the norm has confused them, but the result from iniquity is always the same. So he be telling them, don't be having no babies by these boys. They not working. They boys. They still sleeping in their mama's bed. They still come crawl up in their bed. Mama, tell my mama, listen to my story. Mama, if you don't get your big old mustache and beard out of my bed. Grown tail. But I say, don't be having no kids by that. You're going to tie yourself to somebody for the rest of your life that next year you're going to hate. Or the reverse. But yet you're tied to them forever. You can't talk about God blessing me. He blessing me to take care of my kids in this. And we could be peddling poison that's killing somebody else's child. You know that drug money ain't no blessing. It's interesting. We know who to fight too. People want them bully and jump on and fight, and you know these people. I want a man that can get down in the front yard, that can fight in the front yard. I want a man that can build me a fence to keep these ignorant jokers off my grass, killing my grass, fighting on it. I tell everybody, if you ever come to my house, don't get on my grass. Grass is meant to be looked at in Colorado, not walked on. Stay out past the grass. Don't get on my grass. I'm gonna tell you. Go to Psalm 51. And I gave you sugar like 3 weeks straight. Gave you encouragement. Go back and get it if you need it. This grown folks talk today. Can you handle it? This grown folks talk. And everybody can't handle grown folk talk because we don't want to acknowledge what's really happening in our world or explain it and to help people to do better. Anybody interested on doing better? I done more dirt than probably all y'all together. But at some point, as you grow and mature as a man or a woman, you start saying, you know, this, I got to put foolish things behind me. It's time for me to take control over my life and do what I need to do as a Psalms 51. This is what David did. David says, he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. When you've done wrong, the first thing we should do as New Testament believers is go to the throne of grace boldly. You don't run from God. All these people who telling you God out to get you, they liars. God died for you. Watch this. While we were yet sinners. He didn't wait for us to get right. So all these people, the devil is deceiving these people, Sister Sanders, by telling them, when I get right with God, then I'm going to come to God. If you can get right with God, if you can get right before you come to God, then you must be God. You can't be God. You can't get right before you come to God. That's why you come to God. That's why I come to God, because I could never get right. And I'm just like Paul. Even after you get born again, you still can find yourself in situations where you will, just like Paul. Paul said, the good that I would, that I don't, but the wrong that I shouldn't, that which I find myself doing. Anybody ever live right there? I wanted to do right, but I still found myself doing wrong. It don't mean I'm not born again. I'm struggling. Can somebody help me get delivered or point me to somebody that can deliver me or whatever you need to do? I know there's been some time when I've been stuck on can't get right. My wife's like, if that's your new name, can't get right, can't get right, can't get right. Couldn't get right. But thank God I got right. He says, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude, God is so good. His tender mercies blot out my transgressions. David says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities. He took ownership of it. You know, we're in a bad kind of way when we can't even see that we need to change. You know, I knew as a young man, saved or but there are things that I knew already that I needed help. It was my stuff. Even if it was a two-way street, They responsible for the half that they was driving on. I'm responsible for the lane that I'm in. I got to acknowledge your own stuff. Say, God ain't out to get you. Say, this message ain't to condemn you. Say, God is trying to help us own your own stuff. And this is what David is doing. And David says, cleanse me from my sin. Remember I told you that iniquity is innate or built-in eternal active sin. It's in us. Things that we have done so long that you can do it and you don't even think about it. Anybody ever cuss somebody after you got saved?
Yeah.
Because cussing was in you. It didn't mean that the person wasn't saved. That was built in them. You ever got up and got on the altar and got saved one day, and then the next week you still wanted to drink or hit a reefer?
Yeah.
Why? Because that was in you. That got to be taken. That don't. Sometimes it happens for people instantly.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you still got to be delivered from it. You get walked by that pot house and that stuff. It's like that little skunk. You always just start going up and you be following that scent. Yeah. God is helping us out this morning. He says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. And my sin is ever before me. Do you know conviction always precedes forgiveness? Conviction precedes forgiveness. If you don't own the fact that you did what you did to a person or even to yourself, if there ain't no conviction about it, then you can't expect forgiveness for that. This is why when you wrong people, you don't just tell them to get over it. If you're gonna be with me, you're gonna stop talking about this. I will most certainly not. I'm gonna talk about it till you fall asleep. When you wake up, I'm gonna be talking about it again. When you come home from work, I'm gonna have it on the video playing on the screen. I'm gonna be streaming it from work. I'm going to FaceTime you and I'm going to talk about it. Because if you ain't convicted that you've done me wrong, then ain't no forgiveness. I'm not going to extend no forgiveness. I mean, I have to. I will have to eventually forgive you, but just so I don't bust hell wide open, but I'm going to make sure that I create anyway. He says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest. Okay, let me stop right there. Man, I have not gotten nowhere. That I may be justified when I speaketh. I'm talking to people who minister and talk to people. If you have stuff going on, you can't minister under the anointing. Because you know you're not justified to say to people what you're saying to them.
That's right.
And that's why a lot of time people who preach or teach or whatever case, even as parents, a lot of time parents won't correct their children as they grow because they don't feel justified to speak to them about that because they got their own stuff. There's no anointing released when we're speaking or ministering to people if we're not justified to say what we're saying. And it can be exactly right, but they don't feel, when you say it, it's like they feel condemned. But when you write, they feel convicted. And the Holy Spirit, when you're convicted, that means the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, this is your way out. This is your day out. This is your, shout, this is my day out.
Mm-hmm.
Clap your hands right there real quick. Say, this is my way out. David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. What does that say? He grew up in an environment that by default shaped him in his behavior. Sometimes, again, where we were born at, who handled us first? Shaped us. People who we gave our attention to early as we started to go into puberty, they were shaping you. This is why you got to be in your kids' life in this day and age in high school because some of these high schools are jungles. Listen, some of these private schools are jungles. Just because people got money don't mean that they don't have criminal minds, violent minds, perverted minds, and they got money to pull it off. God has shared with me last week, I shared them with them, brother. He said, don't let people down. I don't know why that Shirley Caesar song had been in my head, but it's like immediately God said, don't let people down. Well, I'm doing for God. You know, if they was following God, what I'm doing shouldn't affect them. Is that true? Huh? That's not true at all. If they had their eyes on God, what I did shouldn't be affecting them at all. That's not true at all. As a matter of fact, listen to this real carefully. If everything we did was for God, when we fail, it would have no impact on people. You know, a lot of grown people have problems with their parents now, and people are trying to reconcile. And if that's you, maybe God, prayerfully God will help you reconcile. But the truth of it is that they failed that person probably so much as a child that it birthed an offense in them. And they're trying to fix it, maybe sincerely now. But the offense got to be taken care of first. That person needs to, and if you in here, that's how you can reconcile the road of recovery with your child, your adult child now. First of all, you got to remember that they are still your child, but they not a child, but they bear the wounds of a child. And you got to go back and you got to fix that, allow God to help us fix it. And then you'll move into a different area in that place. But when we fail people, you have an effect on their life. Yep. How many know we shouldn't be wanting to fail nobody? Say, tell somebody around you, tell three people, say, I purpose not to fail you. Tell them again, say, I purpose not to fail you. I purpose not to fail you. I'm not saying that I won't ever fail you, but it won't be on purpose. It won't be that because I did it to intentionally inflict something on you. Man, if people got that kind of mindset, something is wrong with them already. So we live in a time and day where we need to be taking great precaution about things, what we listen to. I told them a couple weeks back, there's a murdering spirit on kids right now that's trying to get on kids right now. And it's being affected too. Where it come from? A lot of it came through our TVs, the mediums. Just watching movies, just one after another. People getting killed, video games, people getting killed. It's a spirit behind all that. People killing. By the time I think they said they're 17, they've seen over 30,000 murders on TV. That gets in you, is shaping them in the form to be desensitized to the iniquity of murder. But how many know it ain't no game? You know, I had some cowboys in my unit, and they'd be out there cleaning their guns, we in battle. They fired up. And I remember telling them, you don't want to kill nobody. Not even in war, you don't want to kill nobody. You don't want to kill nobody, even if you're defending your home. You don't want to kill. I said it'll change you. I say it'll kill a part of your soul so quick it'll make your head spin. I say it will change you. I say you don't want to kill nobody. You don't want that spirit up on you. It'll try to ruin you for the rest of your life. It'll steal time from you in a day where you sitting around with people and you ain't even in the room. You reliving that moment every single day, and people relive it every single day. You know why? Because they haven't paid for it. they haven't given it to God. If they had given it to God and repented unto him, he could have took it because he already paid for it. But there's no way they can pay for it. I don't know why in the world I'm going this way this morning. See, people are finite. They're going to make mistakes. The Lord had put on my heart to stop giving credit to people for who they used to be. Why? Just because a person done had great experiences in God don't mean they still walking with God right now. And you can be giving them credit and or authority over your life, and they not even walking in that place no more. And the only way that they get credit is that they need to still be actively engaged with God daily. They need to be in God's now. They need to be moving in God's now. Are y'all still following me? I know it's hot in here. I'm gonna start. You see how my finger's still going? First Samuel 3. Give me 10 minutes and I'll just kind of condense it, okay? Can you give me 10 minutes? In 1 Samuel 3, verse number 1, let me just read this real quick. Because we're still talking about the spirit behind iniquity. And one of the things that can affect people's heart, once this, is the absence of strong prophetic words or prophetic teachings. Because people perish without that. And when people feel hopeless, they will do anything. In a world, if you make me feel, I don't care who you are, that we are fighting for survival and we're fighting for the same thing, most people would fight people that they love if it's dealing with survival. That comes from the absence of prophetic, strong prophetic words or prophetic teachings from God. And the reason why that happens is without it, it robs people of hope. It robs people of direction. It'll rob. You remember I put that scripture up there? It robs them of solutions. It robs them of simply knowing stuff that God ain't abandoned them in this old messed up world. And God said to tell somebody he hadn't abandoned you. Say, God hadn't abandoned me. You got to survive these tough times, God is telling you, whoever is this is. He says, hold fast to your joy. Whatever has happened to you or happening to you, maintain your joy because your joy is your strength. And that's where you're going to get your power from. Say, God hadn't forgotten about me. And he said, there are times in this life when we got to go through some stuff. He says, and it'll seem like he's doing nothing. And you be praying and you've been crying and there have been things that you've been longing for. And God says, if when that happens, if you're not careful, we'll start acting out. Anybody ever been in a position where you was praying and you was crying and you was asking God? It seemed like God was nowhere involved. And then we started acting out. We started drinking again. We started smoking reef again. We started sleeping around again. You're fighting again and doing all kind of craziness. We start skipping church again. We stop reading our Bibles. We stop praying on our own. God used to meet us at times in the night. We won't get up no more because we pouting because we think God ain't involved. Say, God hadn't abandoned us. And so when you think about it, when you look back at your own personal life, that God is trying to get us to a place to where he's telling us as a church that we got to get up and get going as a church. We got to get up and get going as the body of Christ. Don't let people slip away. And God was speaking to me and he says, we have to keep on pressing towards him in difficult things that's going on. And this is why I won't say prophetic words are important. Prophetic teachings are important. Anointed words are important. That's why he said you got to have your heart right, because if you're not justified internally, when you speak, you don't have no anointing. It won't even capture people's attention. And it could be a good word. And it would have been a powerful word. But you weren't justified to say it like in that condition. Say, God, get my heart right. Get my heart right. And so he says, people get mad at you, preachers sometimes. But he says, once he said, keep speaking the word, because once they done heard from heaven, it'll influence their spirit. Like even as I'm speaking this morning, I know I'm talking from heaven, and it's influencing somebody's spirit to look at our own lives and say, hey, God, how did I get here? If I've done anything that I don't know about, forgive me of that. But all this other stuff, I want to bring that to you because I need some help. Anybody need some help? Put that up there for me. Psalms, I mean, 1 Samuel 3. And then I just don't want to waste a good word. I promise you. Oh my God. No. I'm trying to get so I can get out of it. I just need to get out of it today. And Samuel ministered before the Lord unto Eli. Samuel's ministering unto the Lord before Eli, which is to say that nobody should just jump right out into ministry or giftings or calling. It needs to be supervised. It needs to be controlled. It needs to have some authority to release it. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. There was no prophetic word. There was no, watch this, publicly recognized prophets. And we right there today that people can learn from. Learn God's will from. This is a question I want to pose to you. Should there be evidence when a person say communication has happened between them and God? What's the evidence? What they say, their words won't fall to the ground. Do you know you almost have to tell people now when you're speaking for God, because they're so detached from God. And they're so churchy that if you don't shake and you don't jig, then you ain't hearing from God. And God can be talking like he's talking to us, that we need to get a handle, because this iniquity in the world ain't going to change, but we could change the stuff that we practice it and don't add to it. That's not going to change in the world, but we can change. Say, I'm going to change. That's how you become wholly committed to God. And so watch this. And it came to pass that when Eli was laying down, let's stop right here. Come on, let's stand. I can't waste it. I can't waste it. I can't waste it. I'm not going to rush through it just to get through it. I think God is trying to tell us something. I think God is trying to inform us of some stuff. And I'm not going to waste it. Because there is a spirit behind iniquity that brings forth destruction into people's lives, even believers. And people say, I don't know how this happened to them. Yeah, because you don't live with them and you ain't God and you don't really know what's going on. You know the image. You see what they want you to see. You know what they want you to know unless God reveals it to you. But I'm telling you, the enemy's getting into places because, one of the main ways he's doing it is that people be telling people that it's okay. Hey, if it's in this book and God saying ain't okay, it ain't never going to be okay. And it's not going to be okay with you unless we stop what we're doing, confess what we're doing, bring it to God, and then let God right the wrong. Jesus has righted the wrong for us. Every person that would and will bring it to him, he'll take it. He says if we confess our faults and our sins, what does it say? He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us and to cleanse us of how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. And nobody has to feel bad about it, because all done sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There ain't no big eyes and little you. Definitely not in the eyesight of God. That's why God called us all little children. And I don't care if you live to be 120 years old. In the eyesight of God, what's 120 years compared to an eternal God? We know so little. Even as you get older, we know so little in this life. And so don't ever look down on somebody when God is trying to fix something. But I'm telling you, we can overcome these secret faults. And that's why David says, I think it's Psalm 17. He says, forgive me of my secret faults. Stuff that don't nobody know. I ain't never got caught. But I know you know God. I know you know. Man, if you know God know, you know you still in a pretty decent place because you still aware that I shouldn't be doing this against God. I know that I should be doing things in a different manner. And really, some of us, it's time for us to stop using our age as an excuse to say, you know what, I'm just young. No, you don't know when you're checking out of this place. You could check out on the way home. You could, you know, you can go to, God can let you rest tonight, and that could be the last time you ever open up your eyes in this land of the living. We need to make sure we rapture ready or death ready at all times. And we need to know that if I'm in Christ, that I'm going to be all right. That's the way we want to live. That's the way we want to be. And so God has paid for every single person's sin in this place, whether you're born again or not. We all got something. And if we still in the land of the living, I don't care who you are, from the pulpit to the back door, if we had it all together, God would get us out of the earth. When we're perfect in the earth, and there have been plenty of people in the Bible that was, God took them out of the earth. Why? Because they had no more sin. But if you're still here, we all got something. That's why you don't let people do this to you. Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. How they say, one finger pointing at me, three I'm pointing back at you. Your stuff might be worse than mine. Don't do this to people. Don't do this to people. Don't point your finger at people. Don't point their stuff out. Look at them. Look at them. Don't point their stuff out. So the altar's open. Hey, man, I ain't going to go through no whole bunch of rigmarole with people, whatever it is. And I know we all got something. You know, just bring it to the altar if you give it to the Lord. Hey, if I reach you, come, that's good. If I don't and you good, just go on back to your seat. But let's make sure we get into the point to where we ain't practicing nothing. We ain't hiding nothing. That we right with God. That our hearts are open towards God. Anybody want to be right in this place other than me? As you get older, I'm telling you, you don't want to play with God. You don't want to play with church people. You don't want to play with his word. You don't want to act like you're hearing something. You don't want to act like you're in some great place with God and you know you're not. No, God is saying for us to get straight. Listen, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you don't know the Lord as your Lord and your Savior, Jesus died for you. If you've never given your heart to the Lord, Jesus died for you. Jesus not mad because you a sinner. He died for the sinner. That's why he came. And God is asking you today. He's making a plea to you. Come to the altar. Give your heart to the Lord. Let this be the best day of your life on earth. The first best day of your life on earth. And watch your victories change. Watch you start experiencing victory after victory after victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Is there anybody that want to give your heart to the Lord? If you're a backslider, I've given my heart to the Lord. But I'm backsliding, Pastor. Hey, he died for you. He said he married to you. He's in covenant with you. He'll never break covenant with you. That's why even in your mess, you'll find God show up and do stuff for you because he's still in covenant with you. He still has an obligation to you, and God wants us to be in a place where we are definitely right with him. If you're a backslider, I don't care what you did last night. When you come to this altar, make up your mind, I'm not going to do this no more. If you messed up last week, I'm not going to do this no more. Bring it to the altar. Bring it to Christ. Christ died for that. This is what the church is missing, telling people who are yet in their sin that even if you're in it, that's why Jesus came. He don't come from no perfect people. Matter of fact, Jesus says, I didn't come for those that are whole. I came for those that are sick. I came for those who are in need of a physician. If that's you, make your way to the altar today. If you got something, say, I don't want people to know my business. Don't worry about people. They got their own stuff too. Bring it to the altar. If you got a broken relationship, if you're doing things to your spouse, you don't get to do things to your husband or your wife just because they're your husband and your wife. If you practice sensing that, that's an iniquity. You need to bring that to the altar, lay it at the feet of Jesus, and say, God, help me not to do this no more. If you got some sexual stuff going on, ain't nobody mad at you for what you desire, whatever, wherever it came from. God died for that too. Whatever it is, bring it to the altar. Bring it to the Lord today. Prayer teams, come help me real quick. It ain't but a few people today, so we're going to get out of here real soon. Hallelujah. I do want to pray for y'all before they even come, and then they're going to come for you as an individual. Real quick, come on, prayer teams. Come get. I'm not having to say that every week. I don't know why, right? But I do have to say that every week. I don't know why. Come on, lift your hands if you're up here. They're going to pray, and I'm going to pray with you too. But I pray that as you've come up here with whatever your issues or whatever your struggles are, that you would understand the love of God, that you would even start feeling the peace of God even as you would stand here. I pray right now that the Lord would flood your heart with whatever it is and flush it out, even as it was with David, that David asked the Lord to purge him with a hyssop, that God would wash those desires out in the name of Jesus. Whatever has put its clutches and its tentacles in you or around you, I break you free under the power of the Holy Ghost, that there'll be no more struggle, no more bondage, no more whatever going on in your life, that God died for you. I pray right now that God will flood you with an understanding of his love for you that will make you totally conscious of who he is as your Father. I pray right now that whatever has flooded your heart and overwhelmed your spirit that has caused us to move back from God, that have allowed things to creep in, that the love of God be communicated unto you in such a manner that you say, I dare not offend my Father, that you would have the spirit of Joseph in this hour, that you say, I can do it, but I will not do this against my God. I will not violate my love and my relationship with God for the things of the world. I will let them all go. I will put them under my feet. I will throw them at the feet of Jesus on the cross, and I purpose today to walk away from them. And Father God, I praise you. I give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.